Welcome to the Outer Realm with Michelle DeRoche and Amelia Pisano. Airing live on the United Public Radio Network 105.3 FM in New Orleans.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday night segment of The Outer Realm. We're broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM from the beautiful city of New Orleans. We are fully sponsored by the amazing people over at Folgers Coffee, who have been a part of our journey since the very beginning. So thank you, Folgers. We appreciate you and love you dearly. Anyway, also big thank you to Dr. Snick, the sonic surgeon, a.k.a. Justin Snicker, for the contribution of his time, his voice, and his music in the intro that you just heard. He's an award-winning composer of Halloween, horror, sci-fi, and dark wave electronic music, which can be found on any of your favorite platforms. Also, big thank you to Steve McGinnis, the artist behind the banners and logos here at The Outer Realm. Also specializes in the horror genre. Let's go figure that. Anyway, you can find him on Facebook and Instagram. Also in the news, of course, you always hear me say it. The Outer Realm has been nominated for a third year for the People's Choice Podcast Awards. So category Best Female Hosts. So it's always an honor to be nominated. So you're going to start seeing a lot of stuff coming up soon and a lot of promos. Everything's pretty much coming together. So even we're excited to see who's going to be coming up. So anyway, watch out for that. So in order to participate in tonight's discussion, everybody has to be in one of our seven chat rooms. Roku does not have a chat room. But that leaves us with UFO Gods and Extraterrestrials, UFO Paranormal Radio, the Outer Realm Radio on YouTube. And as we go over to Facebook, we have, of course, The Outer Realm, Canada's Most Haunted. Then we have News on the Flip Side and United Public Radio and UFO Paranormal Radio Network. So I see people chiming in. I think we're good to go.
Yay.
Yes. So yay. There we go. I know. Look at that. Everybody's just chiming in. God, this is like really cool. I love it.
Yeah. And the guests, no guest bio, because you are our guest tonight.
It's all about you guys. Oh, okay. That's Paranormal Heart. Yes.
Cool. Kat, hello.
I know. We've got Tamara.
Hello. Our third host.
There we go.
Hi, Janie.
Hello.
Making hello. Coffee. Woo. Great. I could use one.
Bubbles of Dark Green.
Yeah. He's only he got two normal names and two Nickies.
I know, right? That's too funny, honestly.
I have like 101 nicknames. It's amazing that I respond to all of them.
I know, she's down to the unit now. Bubbles,
the B unit.
unit.
Did I steal that from B?
I know.
The unit. I stole that from B though.
I know. That's
it's
funny.
So funny. It's
it bounces
just crazy.
Around, you know, but
well, even my brother, three different nicknames. And I still respond to
them. Yeah, I know. You just do. God,
yeah, mighty, you get used
know.
To it.
I know. That's what makes it that much fun with the nicknames. But
it's anyway. Odd when you hear your full name. Then you're like,
you know, you either did something wrong or a serious talk.
Or the person doesn't know you.
Exactly. It's funny. Oh my gosh. So tonight, guys, open forum is going to start with what we thought we would sort of, you know, take something interesting, because obviously we knew we were supposed to have Elliot Van Dusen and Daryl Walsh on the show tonight. But Elliot and his family just lost his brother in the last day or so. So we basically, I mean, he is a champion. He's like, no, I'll forge ahead. I'm just like, that's silly. We love you, but be with your family. So here we are with all you fine people. And we thought the topic of the afterlife would be good, because we just know, you know, within, you know, Wayne lost a friend in the last day as well. And with my own, grieving thingy, my own parent passing, I don't like to really talk about it. So anyway, there's just been a lot and I'm seeing a lot of it. And I thought it might be kind of nice to just touch on some stuff. And, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before with a lot of our guests. And I know Joe and I did a show on this like probably 2-3 years ago, a long time ago now. But it seemed to be, you know, a lot of interest in, we can talk about the theories behind it. We can talk about, ancient stuff with it. We could talk about different cultures and how they handle afterlife stuff, you know, because some cultures believe that you should only, you know, they wait how many days before they can bury you, or they believe the spirit, like I think the Catholics believe that there'll be spirits around for, what is it, 10 days, 2 weeks, something?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, because I think culture interferes with that as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I know the Italian culture interferes and with culture. The Catholic beliefs.
Right. Yes. Okay. So now we're talking about culture and belief system.
Yes.
Which is sort of interesting there. So, yeah. So I thought it would be kind of interesting. And I jotted down some notes. I'm going to be reading a little bit and bubble chime in whenever. So, afterlife theory is the belief that the stream of consciousness continues on after death, believing in being reborn into the world or this world to begin the life cycle over again. So I don't know. There's a lot of people that, like the Buddhists, believe in reincarnation. And then you have those who are like, no, why is it this world? Why can't we reincarnate like anywhere we want? Because now we've learned, just through guests we've had on, that you can, you know, reincarnate pretty much into any form, any dimension. Doesn't mean you necessarily can come back as a person. You might come back as your dog.
I would like to come back as my dog with me as its owner.
It's waiting for that one.
I know. He's in the middle of my bed right now, all sprawled out.
I know. We're sitting here in the heat working.
He's got a fan on him at 10. Like, come on.
I know. It's a dog's life for sure. But yeah.
Got Italian sausage for dinner. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, dog does all right, see, but not all dogs have it made.
No, but I mean, I'd love to come back as him.
Oh, yeah, right? So there we go, afterlife as Versace, that would be all right. So, but you know what, in general terms, there are ancient cultures who believed in a rebirth. Plato, Socrates firmly believed this. Many tribal societies also held on to the belief, especially out, Australia, East Asia, Siberia, South America, and religions, Christianity, Judaism, they don't believe in reincarnation. But I don't know. I think, here's your thoughts on this. Christianity, I don't know.
Do they believe in reincarnation?
And yeah, I mean,
they don't teach it.
They don't believe in reincarnation, but it talks about reincarnation in the dang Bible.
Yes, but they, I can only speak for the Catholic belief. I can't speak for anyone else because I'm not familiar with it, but they do believe in ascension and that your spirit moves on in vibration in heaven. So maybe it is.
Right.
Again, when you have to, how do you paraphrase the Bible? Like, the interpretation of it, I think, is off. On so many, I believe there's a lot of misinterpretation on the Gospels and a lot of rewritten work, which is another show. But
I agree with you on that. Yeah.
I've never heard a priest talk about reincarnation at Mass and bubbles. Thanks, Wes. Oh my God. Okay. So anyways, I know my family believe, not my family, like my immediate family, my family that raised me believed in heaven as the afterlife and total Catholic belief. But my mother talked about reincarnation, even though she was a devout Catholic, did discuss it.
But the Catholics seem to talk about it, but then they say Christians are different. So I imagine, Catholics are Christians.
Don't preach it. Yes. They don't. Well, yeah. I think they, I'm not sure if they know that, but they don't, they don't preach reincarnation. They don't discuss, I've never heard a homily with it in it. They have to believe in some kind of reincarnation if they believe in Christ. But I have a hard time with that one.
Well,
that one could take up like 10 hours discussing and still not get anywhere.
I know. It's true. It's true.
It's hard. I think you ask the priest that. And then again, it will still have some form of personal interpretation.
Right.
Culture has a big play on that.
I think culture has a really big spin on things for sure. I like Tamara's comment.
Okay. We all come from different places before coming here. Enoch became Metatron, but there is question, was he an angel to begin with? That's a big question too. Is it true? So many people say that angels never walked the earth. So it's just that that's a tough one too.
It is, you know, I think, again, I agree, because when you start looking into the ancient stuff, so for example, mainstream historical and contemporary followers of the Kabbalah, I know we have a lot of celebrities follow the Kabbalah stuff, the Cathars, the Rosicrucians, they were all believers in reincarnation. The Rosicrucians speak of a life review period immediately after death, so before entering the afterlife's planes of existence, followed by a judgment. So I guess that would probably be along the lines. Like Cathars are very hardcore, you know, because they stemmed off the Essenes. The Essenes were, you know, it's believed, you know, the whole Mary Magdalene, Jesus Christ, even Mother Mary, the Essenes were really hardcore. And they spun off the Gnostics. And then you've got the Cathars who came in from there. But what's weird about them, they do believe in reincarnation and afterlife, but they were also not traditional Christians. Like the church obviously were behind their annihilation, literally, but because of the fact that they didn't believe in paying on like money to the church. They didn't believe you should pay to worship. And they were very hardcore. Like they were vegan to the point of they believed that, okay, they would eat fish because it was like cold-blooded sort of thing, right? Like, so it's just weird, but their belief systems were very, very different because they followed along the old Canaanite stuff of child sacrifice, for example, you know, so they had, to them, the afterlife was just really, it was just really convoluted and detailed and, you know. Excuse
me. It's so bizarre because I read that they ate fish and grain because they couldn't carry meat and they couldn't preserve it. Not that they didn't believe in eating it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so well, hard. They were
pretty vegan. Yeah. The Cathars, you know? So, I don't know. I just think that, you know, there's a strong belief system. And again, culture does play a really big part of it. I mean, it still does. It still does. You know, it's not like this is just like a past thing. I mean, we have people from all walks of life with different belief systems, different traditions, you know, like I remember first, for example, like the night and day when Diana and Dodi al-Fayed were killed. Dodi was buried literally within 24 hours as murdered. Per their tradition.
Yep. Well, his father also had a ton of money. He could do that and bypass everything.
But this was also something that it was the belief system that, no, we do this within 24 hours.
There, no one is allowed to touch the body except the chosen few.
It's part of
the religion. Yeah,
and that's right. And so he was really quick. And yet you have Diana, who went like weeks, you know, a couple of weeks by the time she was released, laid in state for a week. I think it was a couple of weeks?
She was given a royal burial after a lot of push and shoving from the prime minister. Yes.
But, you know, any way you look at it, though, you're looking at apples and oranges. Like, you're looking at two different strong belief systems. One has to be, like, immediate, and one is just like, oh, no. Like, that's why I find the Catholics look really laid back. A couple of weeks.
So I think that's true. Yeah, I don't remember what she just followed, but culture,
it was just an example.
Culture plays a huge it's really, really, really impressionable with culture and religion. Like, I'll just give you an example for how culture plays with religion.
Right.
For years, the Italians have the Feast of the Seven Fishes at Christmas Eve.
Right.
The Italians will say to you, you know, because you're not supposed to eat meat because of Christ. That's not true. It's not anywhere. I asked three priests. And he said, no, that's an Italian tradition. See how culture, interferes with religion. It's got nothing to do with it. It just had to do with the Feast of the Seven Fishes, meaning you're together and you bring in Christmas morning together. So you're eating all night and you're eating seven fishes. It's got nothing to do with whether or not you're allowed to eat like Good Friday.
Right.
So yeah, Good Friday, everybody's a vegan.
I know. So
unless you're in Vegas, like my bad Vegas trip and I ate a hot dog, sorry.
That's terrible.
I'm going to hell.
Yeah, all religions have similar stories. Yeah.
Yes.
There we go.
Chris, hi Chris, says bottom line is that we are eternal souls living in the physical body for now. When our physical body dies, our eternal soul transcends and may or may not reincarnate depending on the development.
Yeah, I agree.
Wesley, Wes says, I listen to pieces of classical music that have never heard before yet sounds extremely familiar. And it also brings up emotions, like heard it in a previous life. It's like an echo of past life. Well, I've told you that you were some sort of night warrior. And it only makes sense that he chose law enforcement this time as well. You'll find that past lives. How do you explain past lives if we haven't reincarnated?
Exactly. Unless we're looking, are we looking at ancestral imprinting? Like, also, because let's face it, we are our ancestors. We have that DNA.
The DNA, yeah. So that's a big scientific argument.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have, you know, really traumatic experiences, for example, then that's going to sit in all of that DNA. Eventually, that gets passed down.
Wouldn't everybody in the family get some sort of that? So, you know, I love you. Wouldn't that some way get into everybody's DNA in your family? We all have different paths.
I believe so. But I believe that, you know, some of us are more open than others. You know, I do. Like, I know I have, for example, you know, I've always been very vocal about the fact that we have Knights Templar in my family, and that we've had, you know, both my grandfathers, you know, fought in the last World War. You know, there's that bit of a warrior mentality sort of thing. And I have that exact mentality, you know, with respect to the things that I've done for the last 20 years.
And being overprotective.
Well, highly, you know.
Yeah, very overprotective.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't even tell me to shut up. I'm just telling you because she will come at you. I'm kidding.
Yeah. So, you know, I do think that, you know, reincarnation is a really big thing. And I mean, that's my personal belief because it does stem from somewhere, you know, whether it sits in our DNA or whether it sits in our memory banks. I don't mean physical memory banks. I mean, it just sits in our psyche.
I'm sure if you look at Beethoven's family, you'll find musicality in many generations, just like Michelle has the Templars with her family. Most of you know that my ancestors built Pisa, but yet we skip generations with artists. It's funny how I think we've skipped, like, our parents, our dads are very artistic and creative because they build, they finish, they do all kinds, you know, they did all kinds of that work. And then I look at the grandchildren, not necessarily my generation, are extremely artistic. And then I see it skip a grandchild and go to his daughter, who is just, when I see the work that she's done at the age of 6 and 7, looks like something a teenager drew. I believe that's DNA imprinting.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. I think it just plays itself out, you know, in different ways based on maybe our own evolution. Okay, we're just going to keep going here.
Yeah. Tamara says, past lives memory bleed through. You're quoting Joe. I'm kidding. Does happen to some people, example, terrified of fire, water, etc. Yes, I used to be terrified of bridges. I had to do therapy for that. I had trouble crossing bridges and When I moved here, I had to learn how to drive across the bridge. It was the only way to get here.
Mm.
Paranormal Heart Podcast. Hi. What do you think of generational memories?
Well, that's what we're pretty much.
Oh, it's okay. I have them too.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what we're touching on, is just things that maybe, fears. You can imagine, for example, having family who have been in the world wars. It's like just the fears, the intensity, things like that. You know what I mean? Like, you can imagine. I can see how that would play out on to us as well. You know, but I would think more along the lines of, it's like if your grandfather's in the war, I would think, but his children were all born before, he went to war. Or most of them, I think three or four of them out of six.
Yeah, so, makes sense.
So you have those children who would not necessarily have that sort of an impact, but the other two born afterwards might.
Yeah.
So would that reflect on us? How far down the rabbit hole, does it go? How far, generationally speaking, does it go? I don't know. Some of it's pretty intense. I mean, like my spirit will come from my grandfather. My spirit will come, I think, from ancestors as to what, they were doing. I had an ancestor who fought in the Battle of Hastings with William the Conqueror, his private guard. That was pretty intense. Didn't survive that one. His name's on some monument out there. So obviously he didn't survive it. So there's got to be, but again, how does that work necessarily when you pass and you already had your children and you haven't fought that battle?
That's crazy.
See, I'm kind of going full circle with that.
Yeah, I wonder if that's where DNA imprinting comes through. Because how many villages were burned in the medieval times and set on fire and people died, burned alive? And people, many, many generations, hundreds of years later, have this huge phobia of fire and anything that sparks, kind of thing, any fear. I have quite a few that I've had to work on. So that's why I'm bringing that up. I think about that because even Paranormal Heart, I've always had a fear of water. If my feet can't touch the bottom, I have terror that I have no idea where it comes from.
Water seems to be the big one. So see
here. Yeah, and Tamara says that too, regression therapy.
But you see, let's go back to, let's say, how many people said, I've died? I must have died. I died on the Titanic. They feel something when you talk about it. They feel, something. They have memories. Yeah, see, you've got a story with that. So does Wayne, actually.
No, I feel that way. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel that way. I won't get on a cruise ship.
Too. Yeah. So with that being said, some of these people had their children, but after the fact, and you have children. Now, if that child comes back in another life and brings that forward on to, then his children or her children, you hear about that all the time. Like, this is where Edgar Cayce was really amazing, because, known as the sleeping prophet, because he helped people all the time. And he would just go in and channel and talk about, okay, well, you drowned in this life, is why you have a fear of water. Or, you're claustrophobic because you suffocated. And he would give them whole details.
I'm sorry, love him. I'm just thinking I have all of those. I'm a really good swimmer.
Yeah.
But yet I can't get on a cruise ship.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know, man.
But I love the beach, and I'll go out really far in the water. I have no fear of sharks. I have none of that fear. I'm just out there swimming and come back. It doesn't even cross my mind. But to set foot on a cruise ship, hell to the no.
I think it's because you're confined on a cruise ship. It goes down. You're sort of limited, where you have very little control.
Yeah, but I've been in small boats where people who are afraid of water won't get on any boats. I can be on a yacht. I can be on a speedboat. I can sit on the tip. I'm not afraid of heights. And it's just strange to me. That's all.
Chris,
I think people are living many interdimensional lifetimes all at once, and past and future are just an illusion. All time is right now. But because we're stuck in the physical, we can't see it. Yeah, I agree.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I think that makes a lot of sense.
See, Tamara still can't be on a boat.
Yeah, see, there we go.
So you hear that a lot.
That seems to be a really big one, actually. Yeah. So I don't know. I think as we get into, you get into a lot of people get past life regressions. I've had, regression type readings. I've had my own things come back, my own memories have come back.
Yeah.
Sometimes I mean, it makes you wonder, like, is that what you're doing when you're sleeping? Are you tapping into your memories or are you traveling?
Pay attention and write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe in that very much.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I don't know, but there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it for sure. And I think as we get into, I think when we get into things such as reincarnation, we have to ask ourselves, again, are we talking religion? Are we talking cultural? Because the Buddhists heavily believe in reincarnation. Everything's reincarnation.
That's why they don't kill anything, including insects.
Oh, yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because you never know who you're taking out.
No.
So it does release.
They move bugs from one place to another and put it in a safe place.
Right.
They won't kill anything.
No, for sure. So what do we make of, let's jump over to heaven and hell, for example, which I believe is just all a dimensional things personally. But let's explore heaven being seventh heaven, the pure lands, a place where beings like gods and angels and jinn saints, ancestors are said to originate. Some of these heavenly beings consent earth and incarnate. Earthly beings consent to the afterlife. In some exceptional cases, some can enter heaven alive, like, for example, ascended masters like Jesus and Enoch, among others.
Lao Tzu.
And then hell. Like, I went into a whole thing about hell, but I'm just going to keep it brief. There's a whole lot with
That's a show on its own.
It can be. Yeah. There's a lot of information there. So I'm just going to take a snippet. So it's a low place accessible by all earthly beings, place of torment and punishment in the afterlife. Some religions believe it's an external destinations. Other depicted as intermediary between incarnations, said to be dimensional under the earth's surface, and often includes gateways, entrances to hell from the land of the living. And then you have purgatory, which is limbo, like the neutral place, things like this, But crud, like, it's kind of like what we're going through right now.
Right?
I'm going there.
Some,
I did it.
Some Catholics believe we are in purgatory.
Right.
Some Catholics believe this is purgatory.
Well, some people believe this is straight on hell.
Yeah, I don't, because of the work we do. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah,
I really don't. It's hard for me to believe that because of what we've seen. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. It's just from experience and the work that we've done that I don't believe that at all.
Right, right.
How can this be hell if people have so much good going on in their lives, not just bad?
I agree with you on that. And I think it depends, again, on the perception of everything. If you talk to, Luciferians, for example, I mean, we associate everything with a certain deity or God. Some people look at, Lucifer, Satan. And at the end of the day, he's known as a light bearer. So you have people that don't look at things quite like that. They're like, no, they still believe in love and light and everything in between. They just believe that there's more to it and that a lot of us have just been misled by, all of these organized pieces of religion,
Yeah. I respect their opinions and their beliefs. I respect everybody. Yeah. Sometimes I really don't believe that there is one way. I feel like all of us have a different life after this or during this, not just your beliefs. Your beliefs are there for a reason. It's part of your path, whether you stay on them or leave them.
Right.
I know I spoke to someone, I don't know if it was on the show, who said hell is what you believe it is when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever you fear is what
is what
would come to
is.
You.
It's
and
your own
heaven
personal
is the
thing.
Same.
Yeah.
And heaven is the right. same. And I'm like, right. wow, but we all have that white light when we die. That's one thing we all have in common with NDEs.
Oh, well, there's been a lot of NDEs where people have gone to very dark
yes.
places and they come back changed.
Yes.
And it really
that's
changes
true.
Their
but
life.
That's
yeah.
that's considered to be, well, maybe they went to hell or purgatory. They didn't go to heaven. People will associate the yeah. light with heaven.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, the light doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's what you feel when you see it.
Right.
And right. you don't always see the light. And I'm saying that from somebody who's gone there a few times.
Right.
And I don't mean the dark. I didn't see the dark. I just didn't see the light at first.
No, but you were in a right place at least.
I was in the right. I think I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd get the same entrance next time, but
right.
yeah.
Right. It's a tough one. You know, well, it is. It's a tough one. NDEs.
If your beliefs create your life, you believe that you manifest what you believe, that would fit with going mm-hmm. into, if you feel dark, you're going to end up somewhere dark. You're manifesting that.
It makes sense
with that.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't think there is an answer.
No, but it sure is interesting conversation.
I believe in Dante's Inferno that there are so many levels of hell and the way there are hierarchies of angels. And it's got nothing to do with Catholicism. It's my belief.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of Catholics don't believe in seven levels of hell or anything.
Right.
It's that whole as above, as below thing for me.
Right.
I believe that. And I don't necessarily believe that it's this way. I believe that it's this way.
I believe
it's dimensional.
Yeah,
I don't believe up and
absolutely,
down.
No, it's absolutely dimensional. Whether the dimensionals go this way or whether it goes this way.
I believe that somebody said heaven is up in the sky and hell is down on earth because
when you dig
the earth, it's ugly. And when you look up, it's beautiful. And I think that's where that perception came through, that it was coined that way. And people kept saying stairway to heaven. How the hell do you know that you're not just sliding left?
Yeah, I remember hearing one time, from people, other researchers, and I think my grandfather spoke of this very, very briefly, and I was younger, so I don't want to say for sure, but it's a very strong belief amongst many, spiritual people that for example, fourth dimension, because we're three dimensional beings. We're pretty much third dimension. So you have to evolve into different densities and dimensions and things like that. So three-dimensional. Yeah, third density, three-dimensional. That's just a lot of lower-lying stuff that we share space with. But the fourth dimension was always believed that that was part of, a spiritual realm, the next realm over. And the belief was when you see them and you think they're floating, it's because the dimension was, a few feet, 3 feet, like higher than ours. So it always looked like they were floating when they were projecting through. And I thought, that's interesting. Of course, knowing what I know now, it could go either way. But it's interesting because it's just a general, consensus.
Just something I want to add to that. How often, if you see a spirit manifest, how often do you see it at floor level?
Yeah, you don't. It's always up, right? So I don't know.
You never see it at floor level. You never see it at ground level. I've had soldiers manifest in my yard, and never have I seen it on the ground, always up. That's just been my experience. And from what I hear from other people, I've never seen it at ground level.
I know.
No.
See? Okay, let's continue on with a couple of comments.
Sure. Tamara says, I always see the airport where people board, very bright and light and vast feeling. That's kind of scary.
Wayne's mother was always the train.
Wow.
Boarding the train, she couldn't go with her baggage. So she waited. They kept saying, can't take it with you. It's strange because she was always asking about the train station and which platform, and Wayne would just be like, all right.
When she was passing?
Probably for a few months before.
How does Tamara see this? When do you see this, Tamara? Is it in a dream? Is it out of body?
My grandmother
was the train.
Too,
yeah, I never heard the train.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Chris.
Okay, I think God, who created us all in whatever terms you define God, loves us. Every religion, every cult, everything always comes back to love. Yet there's hate out there, but what wins? Now it's a crazy world. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's Kat, right?
Yes.
Hi, Kat. Some believe they are only a certain amount of souls. Do you believe there are some people who do not have souls?
So you're believing in the Hall of Souls theory, yeah, then?
Game of Thrones?
Well, the Hall of Souls is a Catholic thing.
No, but I mean, it's like Game of Thrones with the Hall of Faces.
Yeah, similar to that. So when they run out, they run out. So if you believe that, then do you believe that they reincarnate, that they go back and reincarnate? To me, it's hard because when people say, well, no, people go to purgatory and you wait, then the Hall of Souls eventually depletes. So I don't really know. I don't know about that theory. Are there people with no souls here? I would find that really difficult.
I would consider without a soul being a lower level entity.
Yeah.
That would be, to me, no soul, because the whole purpose of demonic is to take souls.
Souls, yeah.
So to me, that's what that would be.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't believe that they just come on Earth. I believe that they sit in another dimension and we either invite them in or something tragic happens and we're they're attached to us. But
yeah,
and if you use a Ouija board, those are the ones that you'll be bringing in, are the soulless entities. Wayne, hi Wayne, says a woman walked around my office and all I saw was her feet, legs, her business skirt. Well, I thought you said her business.
Her business skirt, yeah.
And it ended there. Nothing above. That happens a lot. I feel like the energy, they can't, some of the energy to manifest. They don't have it quite. It's not that easy. Okay, Tamara says, no, wide awake when giving healing energy, a wall spheres open to the airport. It's not scary, very beautiful. Oh, good for you. I'm glad that you have a great experience with that. I was just curious because I lost track of our conversation.
I'm
thinking this is my favorite conversation on here so far. Chris, you said that last Thursday. Thank you. We're glad that we're getting better with each episode.
Yeah. okay, Kat, as a response.
Okay, I've met people feel empty to me, and it makes me wonder if those who believe some have no souls are correct. I believe that's different, right, Michelle?
I'm wondering if they've got step-ins. I'm wondering, if there's something else,
a deal
in the driver's seat, maybe. It doesn't even always have to be demonic. Like, I think human spirits can step in, and Lord only knows there's enough of those roaming around who are stuck as well. I mean, even people who have been in comas for years or months, have been known to come out, because I don't believe we just lay in the body in a coma. I don't even believe we lay in the body when we sleep. So with that being said, okay, if you can leave the body, there's definitely nothing stopping somebody from just stepping into you. And because sometimes they come back, they don't even know who their families are. They know nothing about the people who are there sitting next to them. And I imagine those guys do not step back out because they do not want anybody else coming back in. So how many people do you have who may be lost and floating around the ether, so to speak, because this has happened to them? I'm guessing a lot more than what we think.
Thanks,
Chris. Ditto on that one.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you need to ground. Yeah.
For comatose patients, that's a tough one, because you hear a lot of stories.
Yeah.
I don't believe that you forget everything when you wake up, because from what I've seen in interviews and documentaries, there's quite a bit going on that they do recall and get flashbacks of and don't quite understand it.
Right.
And I think the more open you are, the more you'll remember. They say that they can hear you. You know, apparently, when someone passes away,
that's a thing. Yeah.
When someone passes away, they can, the hearing is like the last thing to go.
Right.
Because you'll hear spirits when you communicate with spirits, you'll hear them say things and people will say, oh my God, my dad or my mom had passed away. How could this happen? How could they hear that? They were already pronounced dead. And it's scientifically proven that you can hear. I can't remember how long because it's the brain keeps
going for a while. Yeah,
it does. It's short circuiting, but the hearing is a nurse said the hearing is the last to go on one of the documentaries. And I was just like, I'm so glad I stayed with my dad right to the end.
Yes.
You know, like stayed there past that point because I just kept telling him how much I loved him. And I think that's important if you can do it. And that was a gift. Right. Tamara says, just because someone dies doesn't mean that they are cured of their mental illness and need help to move on.
Right. Yes. That's right. 100%. I mean, it goes back to the theory of people who suicide. And I'm going to say theory because I'm not a doctor. But just in my many, you know, years of dealing with this sort of thing, the same thing kept reoccurring. And Amelia and I see it pretty regularly with people who take their own lives. I don't think, let's get back to the religious part of being conditioned to believe a certain thing. And part of that conditioning is, depending on your religion, I'll go with the Catholics. I was raised.
Yeah.
It's like, you do not have the right to take your own life. Only God has the right to take your life. Okay. He gave you life. He's the one who can take it away. This is pretty much what goes on. So with that being said, I believe it's that keeps the spirit from going back, because they're taught if they take their own life, they're going to hell. So if that is your upbringing, if that is your religious belief system or what you were taught, how you were conditioned, then you have these people who are stuck, not because, I mean, is there some mental illness? Does that stay with you? Yes, because I believe the essence, it's not the physical that holds on to that. It is the essence. So if they're still in a confused state, they're going to basically still be in a confused state if they're grounded. But if it's conditioning and the guy or the girl saying, well, darn it, you know, I coveted my neighbor's spouse, so to speak, then this isn't really a good idea. Or I, you know, embezzled millions of dollars and I'm not going to hell because I was told if I did this, I was going to hell. I think I'll stay here and take my chances. It's that sort of thing too. So you deal with people on those levels, not because that is what happens. It doesn't necessarily mean, well, this is, you're going to hell because of this.
Yeah.
It's a lot more deep-seated than that. There's lot more to it than that.
There's sympathy for those who suicide, because suicide is not about being selfish, like you're conditioned by religions to believe. Suicide is about ending the pain because you can't take it anymore.
Exactly.
It's not about being selfish because suicide affects the family that's left behind.
Right.
So does a murder and so does a car accident.
It comes down to unfinished business. It comes down to sometimes you die so quickly, you sort of get shocked out of the body as well. You don't necessarily know what's happening.
Car accidents create that.
Big time they do.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Big time they do. So
yeah.
I think there are a lot of different reasons as to, you know, why we have so many, you know, disincarnate souls, you know, roaming around. And I think that's sad because they don't get that opportunity to reincarnate. But I guess it comes back to what we've also talked about before is, do we have the right to move them on?
I think so.
Coming from the person who moves them on. Yeah. I know.
If you have, if you're against that, don't call me. Because if I have a conversation with your loved one that's passed away, I will get any message I can, and then I will assist them to ascend. I say that straight out if somebody asks me.
Right.
I will not let them stay behind. I don't believe in that.
Right.
I understand it differently, having worked with Michelle, where before I did have a spirit that was here, but I didn't understand that she was
She was lashing out and pissed off at Amelia all the time. like she wants
it
to
was
leave.
Years and years of hell she to wants the point to where leave. Yeah, and John moved the chair and she would pick on the, you would literally see his ear go like this and the tail, and I'm like, oh my God, seriously. Yeah. I've had her when you had not Venetian blinds, but the blinds.
Yeah.
She would pull the slats out of the header and throw them across the room, like right in front of me. And I'm like,
she's like, what part are you not understanding?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh.
I thought she was getting angry because she didn't have my attention, because it didn't happen till the last few years before I helped her over. And once in a while, she does come back.
Right.
It's still her chair.
Right.
So but at least, she does come back.
At least, though,
she's happy.
Come back without all the baggage.
She doesn't bother the dog anymore. She doesn't play the piano without the plug in for Severina. Has a keyboard in the basement. She plays the piano. We have a piano on the main floor. She has a keyboard in the basement. That thing played by itself and wasn't plugged in.
Right.
She doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore.
Well, I don't think they need the antics so much. You know what I mean? No. Like, I think it's just funny how some of them do things to get attention and how they evolve to certain levels to do certain things, which will bring me to the next topic as we just keep rolling down the afterlife road. What about visitations? So people, I know in any of visitations that I've had, aside from visitations while I'm at slumber, while I sleep, they come in different forms, like birds. And I've can't tell you how many times I've had really unusual birds come within my space,
because they have to stand
after
out.
Someone passes. Exactly.
Yeah, it has to stand out. It can't be just a regular finch or a starling. It has to stand out.
My mother always said, I'll come back as a dove. Meanwhile, you know, like a week later, some big freaking falcon comes down and murders a dove on my front lawn.
That's
front.
Not like, a dove, Mom. I know.
You should have chose a falcon.
I had this bird on my windowsill for 3 days in the rain, and I'm like, Mom, let the thing go. It's soaked.
I know. Poor thing, right? I know. See, I've had that with a white dove. I've had that with really unusual birds that shouldn't have been in the area. Like I had a bird in Burlington, came all the way from Florida. I'm like, you shouldn't be here.
Oh, no.
Tiny
those
little
are
thing,
big
just,
ones. And
yeah,
doves,
just sitting
doves
there,
are the symbolism
you know?
Of the afterlife and peace.
Yeah.
Severina released doves at my father's funeral.
Yeah.
So that it was a symbolism of the two doves coming together of him and my mom and the family.
Right.
But yeah, they're beautiful. I think a lot of people have dream visitations. And the funny thing is, today is my mom's 27th anniversary since she passed.
Oh, wow.
And I was 27 years old when she passed away. So it's an iconic, you know, it's not iconic. I'm today, I have like stupid words, seriously. Like I can't even speak today. I've got verbal blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's one of those days. I think it's all the chemicals from my hair. I think it is. She's been, I realized yesterday, because I put my posts on schedule. So I'm not actually there when you see my posts. They're pre-scheduled to go on. And while I was writing it, I thought, oh my God, she's been gone half my life. Literally half my life, 27 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. She always, getting to my point, she always shows up in my dreams before her anniversary. And true to form last night.
Well,
but yesterday I did have visitation from her as well.
So explain then for you. Hey, Alex. Explain then for you the difference between a dream and a visitation. Because there's a difference.
There's a huge difference. I think you have to be really aware of your surroundings, because there really aren't any.
Right.
It's something that you'll find in common. You'll look and go, well, there's not really any trees or anything going on. Sometimes they will bring you back to a place that you shared and had happy memories. You'll go back to something that any location that's not a part of your life right now.
Right.
My mother has brought me back to the beach to talk to me, though. You know, that's my happy place even now.
Right.
And but I noticed that when she comes to me in a visitation in a dream, She's communicating with me telepathically. If I'm just dreaming of a memory or just dreaming of her, she's speaking. That's right. The difference for me. And I'm, like I said, I can hear water trickling in the background and everything that would feel or sound like heaven, but there's actually nothing around us.
Right.
It's just us.
See, I feel the emotion when I have
you feel
visitations.
That.
Like I'll, yes. And I tend to see a lot of my loved ones in one place at times, not just one person. Sometimes it's just one person. And I feel the emotions. You wake up and either you're crying or you're related or, you know, you're just really happy.
That's true.
But you remember, for me, visitations, I remember every single detail of every part of it, right down to the background, where we are, our discussion. I can see every detail in their face, for example, whereas dreams, I can't remember crap.
No, Michelle doesn't remember dreams because I think you're busy going off working.
Probably. I'm tired. I'm freaking exhausted. I can't remember anything.
I think that's what it is with dream a lot, but I think that's got a lot to do with my empathic side that's trying to sort stuff out.
Yeah.
And I believe that if you're meant to remember a dream, you will. And the reason why you don't always remember dreams is because whatever that is resolved and you move on.
Right.
But yes, the feeling is, you described it completely. You do wake up crying sometimes.
Yeah.
You do. I relive my mother's death every year, which is a horrible thing.
Why do you think you do that? Do you think it's a cultural thing? So let's get back to like the afterlife thing.
I think it's traumatic because I was pregnant at the time and I was losing a baby. I think it's just the trauma. I lost so many people in 1996. It wasn't funny. It was one death after another and ended with the death of my child.
Wow.
So I think that's what it is. Every month was a death. I can tell you May, June, July, August, and then Gabrielle, September 17th of 96. Like, wow. It's just, it's horrifying. It's one of the worst years. I can't even hear the number bothers me too. Mm-hmm. And a strange thing, 96 is backwards of my birth year, 69.
Right.
And it was like the most traumatic, more traumatic than the pandemic for me.
Yeah. See, that's crazy.
I lost so many people.
It's like an imprint, you know?
It was a funeral every 3 to 4 weeks. It was the most horrific summer.
Right. Right. Yeah, that would be difficult.
Yeah, it was trauma. Trauma stays in your DNA. And that's what we were talking about earlier.
Before we get to Kat's comment, do you think because you affiliate the trauma, because you're not reliving this with everyone you've lost, right? It just seems to be mom.
I was the last person to see my mom before she went into surgery. Right. And my mom's death wasn't because of an operation. It was because she was improperly moved. They moved the wrong bed and it caused her heart to stop.
Right.
It was negligent. And I think that was the trauma was, how can you trust them? Mm-hmm. I trusted them. Like, that's what goes through your head. But I knew before she went into surgery, you could ask my sister on Loretta. I said to her, she's not coming out of this.
Right.
And she goes, don't think like that. She's a fighter. I'm like, she's not coming out of this.
Right. Right. That's a hard one. Okay, Kat.
Kat says, when I dream of my mom or uncle who have passed, I never hear them speaking, but they are speaking to me. Does that mean it's not a dream, but a visitation?
I think it's still visitation because for me, a lot of it is it's telepathic.
It's always telepathic.
Yeah. I mean, their mouths are moving, but I hear it. I don't hear it like, you know, but mind you, I mean, you're sleeping, so I don't know.
My mom's, their mouths don't move when they talk to me. It's just
Because, you know, my last visitation with my best friend at the time, she just kept smiling, which had the whole conversation. That's probably right, you know.
I think what Dolly says is accurate as well. Each person has their own reception of sense when in contact with each other. I believe also they come to you and show you themselves in ways that are comforting for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the longest time, I would see my mom in the outfit that I buried her in. Because I had to do all that being the girl, I had to pick everything. It was again traumatizing. I was 27.
Right.
And Now, she used to say the happiest day of her life was the day I got married. And I see her in that dress.
Right.
So I think that has a lot to do with how we feel.
Right.
Comfort.
Which is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'll see her and I'm like, why are you in your morning dress from the church?
I know.
You don't have to do that, Mom. You can be comfortable.
That's funny.
Oh, Chris, Amelia, you're making me cry. If I could, I'll give you hugs from here. Virtual hugs.
Virtual
Thanks, Chris.
Hugs. Yeah. So this makes sense.
Oh, Alex, you will. Tamara says you stored the trauma physically and psychotrauma. Yes, I believe that.
Right.
Yeah, Alex, I never got to see my parents. I'm hoping. Alex, I truly, because I know you personally and we've talked, I truly believe that you've had many visitations, but it's hard for you to remember.
Right.
I think you have to release the pain a little bit.
Right.
I'm going to cry for him because I can.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah.
They're very much a part of your daughter's life.
Oh, so maybe your daughter will have the messages for you.
I wouldn't be surprised if you're missing them. Sometimes it's right in front of us and we do what we do and we don't catch what's going on.
It's true.
Yeah. Jonathan, how are you?
Back from the land of the dead, speaking of afterlife.
No kidding. You've missed a lot of episodes. Yes, my dear. He has been having visitations from a loved one, from birds, mostly robins and cardinals. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm off. Have a big exam. Good luck on your exam tomorrow. Thank you, Jonathan, for dropping in. You can receive divine feathers, butterflies, animals, smells, and sensations.
Yeah,
my greatest feather.
Coins are big ones.
My greatest feather fell from the mid-air in my own house in the middle of winter.
We've had feathers, dimes, all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah. Especially at our other place. Crazy. Yeah.
It's just like out of nowhere. I just grabbed it in my hand. I'm like, what the hell? Where's this coming from? And I'm allergic to down, so we don't have feather pillows. There's no feathers in my house. I'm allergic. Chris says, a friend of mine died and I saw her in the coffin. She looked dead. She came to me in a dream and looked alive and happy. She survived death. Wow. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I get a lot of E.T. feathers here. I gotta rethink about where they're coming from.
Hi, Dolly. She's got feathers from E.T.
Who's leaving me feathers for real now?
Do they make boa with them?
The what? Yeah.
The boas.
God.
I think it's so cute. I love feathers. Wesley says, so can visitations be intelligent or residual?
I think, well, visitations are usually intelligent because if they're visiting, there's a message to be given, or they're there to comfort you because maybe there's something going on in your life at that time and you need that. You know, but residual, I think if it's residual, would it be not dreaming? A memory, maybe? I don't know. This is my own personal thought. So a residual to me would, you know, be like a dream, but I think intelligent would be a full-on visitation.
I feel like residual is, like you said, a dream, recurring dreams. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to see if there's changes and then it'll be a complete different experience.
Yeah. Document it. That's always
it's really a good. Big
but you see thing. I remember all of my visitations. I've always remembered my visitations. But you know, when just from what Chris said about his friend, I'll tell you something. I know that my mother had said after my father went into assisted living, she said like she was getting into bed one night and he was there. She could touch him. He was physical. And I'm thinking, how? Because the man is still living. But, you know, we know, especially now years later, that he travels a lot and would visit with my mother. Because just before she passed, she would say, oh, no, I was visiting with your father. And you know, my father was very much at peace during those days. Aside from the night she passed, he started being really unmanageable the night before and the night the next day when she did, and then calmed down after that. And he would point you know, and go visit him, he would just point in a corner and look up, and he would just go like wander over there, and he would look up and he would smile and laugh, and you know what I mean? So it's just sort of like interesting, you know. I think it's interesting. I'm getting
messages in the chat. Call me. Okay.
Call you Wes. So he says, call me Wes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call me Wes. Sure. Call me Bubbles. Again.
So a dream couldn't be intelligent. No. Like when we dream, okay, let's dissect the dream. I think dreams can be messages. So I do believe that they can be to a degree that they absolutely can be intelligent. So dissect that dream. First off, are you traveling and having experience and you're left with the memory of that experience, or is it an actual dream? And if it's a dream that's meant to be a message, then you've got to dissect it. Maybe the intelligence comes in the message and the dream is the message, because there are dream interpreters out there. I've done it for many people, you know, and I used to lucid dream like a maniac. I could fast forward. I could, you know, start over again at a point. If I really like what was going on, I could lucid keep going back there.
What? Sorry.
What?
Sorry, Michelle. No, I just read, I lucid dream almost every night. Okay. No, Dolly.
Okay, so why are you saying that?
Because she said lucid dreaming is contact.
Okay, well, I'm lost where that. Oh, lucid dreaming is contact. Well, why? Like I said, I was a maniac lucid dreamer.
Not me. No.
I love lucid dreaming, but for some reason, I'm not allowed to do that stuff as much anymore.
Well, you do other things now.
Yeah, I do other things. All right.
Yeah.
Apparently, OBE is also contact. Yeah, out of body. Yeah, possible.
Oh, crap.
Dreams always seem to be like a puzzle. Well, that's because you have to write it down in sections. So, you know, if you're at a location, for example, I'm in the forest and I'm in a log house, and then a snake comes in and it's wandering across the floor, but for some reason it keeps coming into the bedroom, then you have to break that all down from the forest to the log house to the snake to, you know, the bedroom. Like, you really, and what is the snake doing? Is it slithering or is it just laying there?
And the interpretation of the snake is 101 things too, depending on what's going on in your life. It's never what you think it is.
Exactly. There's a lot to do with everything, and it's all in stages. And then you can do all of that, break it all down. It's amazing the amount of messages that I've even found for myself in my crazy dreams. So I don't know. It is really, really fascinating. I find dreams to be super fascinating. Simple dreaming, your consciousness talking to you. Well, I don't always like what it has to say. It's just saying.
Snake is trying to get you to eat an apple. A burrito, Alex.
Burrito.
A burrito.
Oh, yeah. There we go. There we go. Burrito boy. Yeah.
So, we have that in common.
Yes, psychic communication.
Alex and I are different kind of soul mates. We're burrito mates.
Yeah, that's what y'all are, man. Crazy people. That's all I've got to say.
Oh my God.
Cray cray. So I don't know. So then I guess we're looking at, are we looking, I mean, what about things like sleep paralysis?
Oh my God.
When we sleep.
I thank God, knock on wood, it's never happened to me.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Sleep paralysis in the world of the paranormal is like the hag syndrome, something sitting on your chest, you know. You have people who, you know, in ufology, they will say, no, that is contact. Then you have scientists who are like, no, certain people experience it certain times of their lives between this age and this age. There's an answer for like everything. But at the end of the day, we know what happens. And we know that we perceive things while we are sometimes in a dream state.
Turn the light on for my dog. Sorry. Seriously. He's right now standing on my foot because he can't see because he's partially blind. Oh, there you go, buddy. Go lie down. It's okay. I got your bed ready. Nope. Still on my feet. Okay.
It's like, I'm not going anywhere. Never
mind. He's mad at me because I was gone most of the day. So he's mad. Yeah.
You know. Okay. But what I find interesting with in death, okay, is the interest that science has taken in it all. So, of course, science has now agreed that the essence moves on. Science has now agreed that, you know, the spirit can leave the body. They've done experiments in hospitals where they've had, you know, they've put signs up on top of in you know, an operating form, and it'll say the date on it, or it'll have a little message. Every day they would change the message. And if somebody left the body because they died, had an NDE, then they would come back and they would be asked the question, did you see anything?
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, yes, I saw this, I saw words. Well, what did it say? So this is how they started to determine that something was actually happening. But when you factor it in, even though scientists claim to research that they believe our essence moves on when we die, there are experts that believe no one knows for sure what happens when we die. Mm-hmm. So it's believed that what science is trying to find a way to put an individual's essence, essentially, I mean, they believe that they're trying to put it into artificial intelligence. That scares the shit out of me.
That's what kills me. They can do that, but they can't believe that you talk to your mother in an NDE because they flatlined you.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre. Now, here's a question for you. And I just lost it. Jeez, thanks, universe. It went because I had to talk, which was crazy. Oh, my God. It was a good one, too.
Yes. Well, maybe it'll just come back to you.
It was so good.
Yeah. So, and I do believe this is exactly what I'm saying. Like we don't die. The essence is who we are. It moves on. It holds our memories. It holds all of our traits. It holds everything. The body does die. So why is it so hard for people to understand that, you know, we are these eternal beings, that, you know, the physical, it's like if your car, like, you know, craps out on you, what, do you just stop going anywhere? No, you don't. You sleep in it at night when you park it in the garage. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think it's the same idea. We move onward.
That's a great interpretation.
Yeah. Right. Like,
yeah,
I don't sleep in my car at night. My car, one really nice car, I do it, but it's not like I do it all the time.
No.
Like, so, you know, we move on. We go about our business. Maybe this is soul school.
I remember.
Okay. Well, you go before you prep the next question.
I remember.
I knew it would.
This is food for thought.
Okay.
Now, we know that everybody has some sort of psychic ability, and it's who uses it, who learns how to use it, who has more of it, whatever. I would be curious to see, if tested, how many people who lucid dream or, you know, are more open to seeing things are right and left brain equal, because I'm one of those people that's right and left equal. I don't have a dominant side. So right. I'm curious to see. I actually even do things with both. I wouldn't say I'm ambidextrous because I can't cut. I can write with my left because I started writing with my left and went to school where I got smacked for that. But I do things with both hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, okay, Dolly, you are what I am.
I could do things with both hands. I could write with both hands.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, like, I do my makeup with my left. I do this side of my hair with my left. I don't favor my right side at all. Yeah. The funny thing is I hit left with the bat.
Yeah, I could drive with each.
I do left with a hockey stick. Like, I'm complete opposite. And Severina is left-handed but does everything with her right hand.
They go crazy with that. Yeah, I don't know.
Both hands. I can play sports with either. I do that. I can play both, and I can throw hit with both. And my uncle's ambidextrous, but I wouldn't say I am, because there's a lot of things I can't do that I do favor my right, but I do favor my left side on so many levels. Well, I've done quite a few tasks where, and I've done one with Oh my gosh, seriously, today I'm losing it.
A neuroscientist, sorry. And Alex is left-footed. Great. Anyway, so I did one, and then I did another one online, and then I talked to my doctor before he retired about it and everything, and we've concluded between all of these different experiments that I use both sides of my brain. I'm just curious, is that something that isn't everyone that is highly communicative with the other side? Or empathic, or
it's funny because I've never thought about it. I could do both, but it's like I don't consciously look at like writing. Obviously, I favor my right hand. I can write with the left hand. Driving, I can do both. A lot of things, I can do both, but I don't think about it while I'm doing it.
No, it's just
it's natural.
I swear, when I had the foils in my head, I think I was pulling this in from the universe. Ah, it was like the foils in my hair, but I wonder. Today that started with me, that was the thought in my mind was, is this something that's common amongst people who are super intuitive, or, you know, everybody's gifted,
right?
But is this something, because artists are left-brained and logical thinkers are right-brained, we tend to be both. So I wonder.
Yeah, I believe that we can.
Yes, I do get weather headaches, Kat. That's why I've been missing a lot. Migraines. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get those as much. Been a long, long time. So once I've had to do, like, once I've gotten migraines.
I think that's just from I never had a headache before. I had inner ear infection and I've got vertigo. That's why I get
that. That was it. Yeah.
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 It came later. I was not one to take a pill for a headache.
It's that time.
But anyways, it is something to think about because I just think it's an interesting thought. And yes, I pulled it from the foils of my head today. Those foils are good for something. You pick up all kinds of satellites.
That's what I'm thinking.
I can't do an accent. I was trying to do Joe. It doesn't work. And I suck at accents. I love them, but I suck at them. Okay. What a crazy night. You are listening to The Outer Realm with Michelle DeRoche and Amelia Pizzano, coming to you live from the beautiful city of New Orleans on 105.3 and 107.7. We are streaming on Roku. You can catch us live and archive. Please make sure you share with our friends. Your friends, our friends. See, I told you, I need coffee. And we'll get to that. Our guest tonight is you. We're having a Q&A and we are discussing the afterlife. So if you are just tuning in, don't you worry. You can stream our archives on any platform that you normally use. Again, don't forget to share us with your friends. A huge thank you to the amazing people at Folgers Coffee, which I am desperate need of right now, for sponsoring our show and continuing to sponsor us even through the next year. Thank you so much, Folgers. We couldn't do any of this without you. We love you. A shout out and a big thank you for our intro and outro to Dr. Snick, the sonic surgeon, Justin Snicker, award-winning composer and musician. You can find his music on Amazon and Bandcamp and check him out on Facebook and Instagram. He is daily dropping clips of his music and you can find out through finding him on Facebook or Instagram how to purchase his music. His music's amazing. Again, it's our intro. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're listening to us, or watching us actually on Facebook or YouTube, please make sure to give us a like right now. Right now. Just click that. Right now. Thank you.
Exactly.
Subscribe and share, please, with your friends and family. Help us grow. We have a huge listenership, but it does not reflect on social media. So please help us out.
Right.
And thank you. Back to Michelle.
All right. Well, that is interesting. Folgers indeed. Okay, so here's a question. There we go.
Let me get that one. Oh, okay. Steve. Hi, Steve. Says, many do experience weather patterns. Before domestication, we were more in tune to frequencies.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I still tend to be in tune to frequencies, like quite a bit. And sometimes it's actually pretty painful to get the pitches. Been better here, though, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But I wonder how many of us actually are tuned in and we hear them and we can we can connect to them and don't realize it. We don't understand we're having a tinnitus. No. No. I believe it's frequency. I do really believe it's
frequency. I always say the angels are rubbing their ring, their wings. Stop it.
Right.
When you get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Throat eye migraines. Yeah.
That happens when you're trained.
Yeah. Yep.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this leaves you with more to ponder.
My God, the left and right brain's killing me.
The left and right brain is killing you?
Yeah, the whole thought of that is driving me crazy. Like, I want to deep dive now.
Mm.
That's how much it's bothering me.
Why? Why do you think?
Because I just wonder is it something that you need to be psychic, or is something that develops because you develop your psychic ability? There's a lot of questions to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've had past lives or you have reincarnated, do you come back stronger or weaker? There's just,
I'd like to think wiser.
Hopefully
wiser, instead of being a dumbass. So. You keep coming back the same time as over and over and over and over, you know?
Yeah, you don't have a life without mistakes. So it's, mm-hmm. I believe that's also perception. Do you regret your choices, or do you just live mm-hmm. with them and move on? I live and move on.
Right.
I'm not that person that regrets. I'm just like, it happened for a reason. I know people hate hearing that, but it's true.
It does happen for a reason, but you need to be aware of it. You need to absorb it. You need to,
yes.
if wrong has come out of it, you need to rectify it. Otherwise, that brings you back again to experience it again. There's a lot of things, like, it's not so cut and dry as to certain things. There's a lot of consequences to every action that we do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah, frequency is essential to understanding our surroundings. Our bodies are constantly affected by them. 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll talk about that when you guys come on the show, shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Guys.
Well, I thought I had a burrito on Sunday, but nobody gave me one.
Ah, well, look at this. I think
that was the clincher. So if we go live, I better find a burrito on the desk when we come to you.
Hmm. There we go. Learning acceptance at certain levels. Yes. Yeah, I do. I agree. I agree with that. Because otherwise you just have to find yourself, keep doing it all over again. As you receive a broadcast, your whole brain, I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
But the whole brain.
Michelle speaks Dolly.
I know.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know. Because my same thing happens to me all the time. People go, what do you mean by that? I'm like, what? To me, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Apparently, it's not, because my phone has a whole other freaking reason for existing. Anyway, it just make me look bad.
Have no idea what her text messages look like, and she's speaking into the phone.
I know, and she's, I think I'm typing. Correcting it. But you go and you. Sometimes I type. I try to correct it, but by the time you press send, it's like it just switches it.
I already figured it out. Yeah, a lot of times
as you speak Syrian,
autocorrect comes in and does whatever it wants.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Apparently, I'm sending you a plant, not a promo.
Ah, nice. I'll take that plant.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Do you want me to read this one?
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't learn the lesson the first time around, you will reincarnate again and again until you learn the lessons. You will be neither wiser nor less. You will learn the lesson. I think I'm doing that right now, because I keep giving people millions of chances. And I think my lesson is to tell them where to go afterwards.
Stop giving them millions of chances.
Yes, because how I am. I'm terrible with that. I'm like, you're never going to have anything to do with that person again. And then I'm like, oh, okay. I'm learning. Yeah.
Whereas I stick to what I say. Say what you mean what you say, follow through. It's important.
If Michelle says she's going to have nothing to do with it, I guarantee you she won't. Just saying.
No,
yeah.
Not on average. No.
And don't try that crap with me, because I'm not doing that anymore. Just saying. Oh, ask Alex. He'll tell you about his burrito miss. We heard them.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Heard all about the beans.
Oh, gosh.
Spilled the beans. Oh, no pun intended.
The phone
no gremlin. Bun intended.
I know. Fine and town. Oh my god.
Sleep.
Here we go.
Hello, here I be, Daft Master. I miss sitting across from him because I laugh so hard I cry.
Just, try living your life, man.
Just yeah, well, when we work, I hear him in the background. He's easily distracting, easily distracting.
Oh, sure.
The funniest was him wearing that mask, and he was in the doorway, and I didn't even flinch. And he's like, I didn't even get a reaction out of you. I'm like, wearing a mask.
I know. So, was like, I supposed to do that?
All the time. You got a reaction out of that mannequin the first time I walked in the door, just saying.
I know. We're
that mannequin made me go... Like this.
We're weirdos. Like, we're weirdos. What can I say? Okay, here we go.
It's scary how the average folk are unaware of the importance of understanding the effects that EMF have on our bodies, both long-term and short. And that's from Steve Genie of Nocturnal Frequency Radio.
Yes, sure. I'm out every Sunday night from 9 to 11 p.m., people.
Yeah, we were just there on Sunday. Check out their YouTube channel and you can watch that.
Check out that archive, man.
Yes. Okay. We had a lot of fun.
Say bubbles.
Learned the word no. I had to. I can say it, bubbles. I'm, believe me, when I feel weak, I talk to Michelle. And then I get that. It's self-respect. EMF and infrasound, sorry, nocturnal frequency. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've told the story where I had a mentor that would take me to the airport, Mount Hope Airport. To teach me things. I had different mentors when I first started that I obviously were put in place for a reason, to help me, you know, be able to hone everything that I was going through. And he would take me there because of the EMFs that were lowered for the planes, like the tarmacs and everything. And that's why I was there.
See? There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
We'll come hand in hand. Yeah. Puck monkey. Does he mean puck wedgie?
I don't know. I give up.
The museum there is haunted. Yes, I've had many conversations in the Warplane Museum.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun being
it's
there.
Great. It's great.
Okay. Yes. You want to read it? I'm doing all the talking. I don't like that.
If I ever get to Canada, I'd love to hang out with you too. I'll make you biscuits, gravy, fried chicken, and s'mores. Maybe not in that order. I say you, start with the s'mores.
You lost me at s'mores. Start with the biscuits and gravy, and I'm there.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't have the sweet tooth. I have the carb tooth. Right. So biscuits and gravy, you got me. Fried chicken, you got me. Don't have to make dessert. Save your money. I never eat it.
Speak for yourself. I want the s'mores.
No, Michelle, you can make it for Michelle. Yeah. Michelle will eat the candy. Yes.
I'm terrible.
Could get away with just getting her Jelly Bellies. You don't even have to make anything. But yeah, Jelly biscuits bellies. And gravy. Oh my God. Even Wayne's like, I'm going to go make that now.
I know.
I'm hungry. God. Hi, Corinne.
So here I'm going to put this out there because like I said, I know in my world, you know, with just people who I know who've lost people, they're not necessarily like, you know, part of my family, but it's been very, very sudden.
Yeah.
Very sudden deaths, very unexpected. So if we had a moment, if we knew, like for me, I always say, I get psychic readings. I'm like, I will respect you a lot more if you see it and you tell me, because, you know, realistically speaking, I can take it. I'm a bit different than a lot of people. I want to know because I believe in living every moment. Well, you can, because it goes to how many people have we all lost. And we basically, you don't have time to say goodbye. Like I'm glad for my mother because I was notified. I went in and I had, you know, we had really great deep conversations and I got to watch some interesting things. Not everybody is able to see what's going on with, you know, they don't know that they're about ready to lose somebody. And that really sucks. It really does. It really sucks. So I don't know if you know, is that such a good mentality to have? Live every moment while you can. love everyone while you know me. Well, love everyone. I mean, love everyone, but just watch how you're loving. I don't want to just put out this. Well, Michelle's the Outer Realm said, I'm just,
you don't saying, need protection.
I know. Just, you know, no, but
skin
I,
is
I,
in.
You know, I am a sort of like a throw caution to the wind sort of person. And I do believe in being service to others and really helping people and really doing for others. And if you have an argument with somebody, rectify it. If they don't belong in your life, don't. Life is short. Don't keep somebody in your life who insults your spirit and insults your intelligence, because that just affects your energy. And then you end up getting all this negative energy. I'm sorry, but what you project comes back to you. So if you're putting out all this negative energy, especially because of somebody else, that's coming back to you.
You know what's the worst is when they insult you, but you walk away and it's all your fault. It's like, you know what? You have to let that go. That was the hard lesson for me, was just learning to let go. And that's how you stop that energy from affecting you.
Right. Yeah. I completely agree. I think that we really need to start focusing on, okay, as we talk about afterlife, let's talk about current life. Let's talk about collective consciousness. Is the key, my ex favorite place. I still love Burlington. I have family there. I still love Burley. I do. I love Burley. It's not everybody in Burley. It's
a beautiful city.
I know.
I love the waterfront. Oh, Ruth lives near Grand Bend. She's in a great place.
Oh yeah, Grand Bend's beautiful.
That beach is stunning. Yeah.
So, where was I at now before we got beach talking?
Current life.
Current life. Okay, totally snoozed on that also. I have no clue. We just got talking about different things. Ah, collective consciousness. So should we be, like, again, I like to wake up every day. I like to start off with a good positive thought, but I'll tell you something. You know, I end up with barrages of messages on this guy. And this is how I spend my morning latte with, just sitting there, just like, you know. And that being the case, it's hard to have positive thoughts sometimes. You just want to sit there and just like, okay, you know, pinky just in the brain. Okay, I'm going to rule the world today.
Just don't let it be the first thing you do.
Yeah, see, it really does get difficult. But I get swarmed with messages. And it's not always easy being, you know, that upbeat, you know, Susie Sunshine in the morning. Sometimes I can be a real Debbie Downer. So, you know, and Bubbles is like, what? But I do think if we at least took the time to put forward, even just think about how many people are on this planet. If we all in one day just took one thought, one positive thought, and put that into the collective consciousness, what a better place this would be. Can you imagine what the vibrations and frequencies would be like then, Steve? I think it would be pretty fabulous.
Society today is very, very selfish and entitled. So it's a problem. I feel like everything we went through that brought us together as a world is doing this right now.
That's so everything. Yeah.
I hope it changes everything, because there's a lot of violence unnecessary. Violence is always unnecessary. But there's a lot more going on, even here, which we're not used to.
But it takes a minute. That's all I'm saying. It takes a minute. And I know it works. I've tested the theory just with random, ridiculous words.
I feel like if you turn the perspective of social media is like turning on the news when you wake up, you'll wait to turn that on.
Good night, Alex.
Yeah. Good night, Alex. You'll wait to turn that on.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but I'll tell you something. I've tested the whole collective consciousness thing. I really have. And I mean, I wake up in the morning with a smile on my face on an average kind of night I had. It's not till I make my way to the latte where I start getting a barrage of messages, you know, but I know it works. All that love and light and everything else, it really does. It works. So, yeah, Corinne, I'm just exhausted. That's all. It's exhaustion.
Prince of Patrick.
It is. It's pretty. It's exhaustion.
Yeah.
But no. I think it's sadness just for people, the state of where we are at right now. Sometimes, you know, I've had people say, "Oh, you look like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders." Sometimes I feel like I do, because I believe that light workers do. We feel that there's a certain responsibility that comes, you know, to us and through us to do all the goodness in the world. And not everybody deserves it, believe me, but you can't pick and choose, you know, who you want to extend all your light to. If you're going in and you know, working with planetary things and working with, you know, lost souls, for example, it's very hard. Because you see the state of how things are and you look at all the work, you know, like Amelia and I work together, and I've worked with other light workers as well. You know, like, you know, I used to do this once a week, Bart Sharp and I, like, you know, Bart's got Becoming Quantum Conscious, for those who are interested. And he's on Wednesdays, I believe, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, and that's Eastern time, but really worth listening to. He's in the south of France right now, bringing on a lot of light workers who live in the area. And and it's really interesting just to hear everybody's different perspectives. The point I'm trying to make is I feel that sometimes those who work with their abilities to serve, be of service to others, really do feel that weight, you know, on their shoulders.
My internet keeps cutting out.
Mine or yours? Yours?
Mine. You're yours. Freezing, oh. But I think it's my end because nobody's saying anything. So it must be on my end.
Okay. Yeah. So again, going back to, you know, collective consciousness, I think it's really important. I think it's a good place to start, because if we are sitting here, you know, before we end up closing off the night, if we are seeing all of these lost souls here, and if we are conditioned to, let's say, our religions and our lifestyles and our backgrounds and our ethnic beliefs and our ancestry, if we're conditioned to all of that, I mean, it's really hard, because it's like, we're kind of doomed, you know, in a lot of ways. Like, there's a lot of good things in all of that, but there's a lot of things that can hinder us. And I know there's a lot of lost souls out there. You know, it don't have to be, you know, like a super psychic to know that. I mean, you just see, we're all intuitive in one form or another, even though some of us may not realize it's our intuition that's picking up on things. We may not realize why all of this stuff is going on or why we're feeling what we're feeling, but it's out there. And is there a way that we can reach even those lost souls through collective consciousness?
I think you have to start by trusting your gut.
Yeah. So, yeah. One good thought a day, it can change everything. It might be able to keep people from being stuck.
You know, I find my way of trying to raise energy, and it's not something that I notice until I talk about it. I will talk to anybody who's next to me, anywhere I am, whether I'm at the hair salon, the nail salon, if I'm at the store, I'm in line. It's like I'm drawn to the person that just needs that bit of conversation.
Right.
Of course, there's always an eye contact, and I kind of just follow the lead.
Sure.
And I always find the person's energy, because I could feel it has lifted. Sometimes just saying hi, excuse me, thank you, let me get that door for you is all someone needs to change whatever's going on in their life. And those are really, really tiny ways. Like Michelle said, it's just one thing and it ripples.
Right.
Really need to watch the movie Pay It Forward. I think that changed it for me.
It was a really good film.
Yeah.
It was a really good film. It's a good example to get people turned on to it. I think it was brilliantly done. It's just, you know,
it's important to smile too.
It is. It's
really important to smile when you're out there. Smile at each other. Seriously, don't walk around,
you know,
like this, you know.
There's a lot of that. In all of the years, you know, decades that I've done this, people will always say, well, what do you charge to do this or that? So I'm like, I don't. Just do what I ask for. My request is, if you're insisting on paying something, go to your favorite charity or pay it forward. You know, if you feel that my time with you was beneficial and it's helped you, maybe go and donate your time or sit down and just talk with somebody. Like Amelia said, just randomly, just start talking to somebody and just make their day. And I know it's hard, you know, we're in that day and age where you can't just go around necessarily having random conversations with people,
but
if the opportunity arises, take it.
Give someone a compliment. That starts a conversation all the time. You know, yeah. That's how I started, especially elderly people. When I see them at the hair salon, there's one stylist there that has a large elderly clientele. Mm-hmm. And I always talk to them. And mm-hmm. I notice things in them, their smiles. I don't ignore them. I think we tend to ignore the elderly, and that kind of drops everything, you know?
It does, yeah. Today.
I noticed how beautiful this woman was when her hair was being blown out. And I said to her, that is my favorite, which is true. It's my favorite shade of blonde. But instead mm-hmm. of saying it in my head, I said it out loud and her face lit up. She was in a wheelchair and her face lit up. I didn't do it so that I could talk about it. I didn't even know we were going to talk about this. I did it because I genuinely wanted her to know that. I said, you look super sexy. And she just giggled and smiled. I said, that color. And it was stunning. It just brought out everything in her.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that made her day. I hope that it stays with her and that she realizes that she is really beautiful.
Right.
Still.
Right.
Stunning to me.
But you see, this is the type of thing, especially when you are dealing with the elderly, because this will stay with them. And I think it's important that people have as many good memories, especially. Like, again, I can only use my mother for an example because she was aware of everything that was going on and having conversations.
That's tough.
You know what? We FaceTimed with her brother.
Yes.
And they started singing together and doing things. And by the end of the day, she was exhausted, but she was smiling and laughing. And that was her last day of smiling and laughing.
She was given a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just very, you know, the next few days were just very, very, you know, she was very tired, things like that. But that is what she got to take with her, of having her whole family there. And the technology was phenomenal.
Right.
Just being able to look at her iPad even and just communicate with other people and look at photos and pictures of her life. And, you know, they don't have to just sit there and do nothing. Give them those memories, because when they leave here, you want them in that frame of mind.
Yeah, that's a gift when you know that. Yeah. I see it as a gift because you have that opportunity.
I agree.
Not everybody gets that. Most people pass away and don't have it. Forget the goodbyes, but the conversations that they're left unsaid can just traumatize you for life, honestly.
It's true. It's true. You know, so I think realistically speaking, if we all took that time, I mean, it is a gift when you know. Mm-hmm. And as much as I did not expect to lose my mother, I am grateful for having that time, that it didn't happen so fast that I didn't get the opportunity. Because that's there for me as well.
I'm happy for you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. You know.
I know what that feels like. So I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Chris, one of the last ones. You want to catch it?
Sure. Chris says, now that I know why I keep coming back here. Excuse me, Michelle DeRoche at the Outer Realm Radio and Amelia are good, genuine people, and they're light workers. Probably. We try. Thank you.
We try. We are.
Absolutely. We have bad habits. We eat candy and chips.
No, absolutely. We do our best, dang it.
And Chris, we will take those biscuits, just saying.
That's it. Exactly.
Cat wants in too.
But you know, I mean we're already there too. You know, it's like 10 to 11. We're here at the end of the segment, or nearing it again. So we're really glad that you guys tuned in. It was an interesting segment that just started off, you know, in afterlife discussion. It just seems to be something so many people are fascinated about. And I think it's become such a big topic because there is so much loss right now going on. You know, I get on social media. I don't participate a lot, but I do try to read and keep up. And I can't believe how many people are losing friends and family members and
pets.
So, pets too. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots.
So I think with that being said, we're sort of faced with those questions. What's next? You know, afterlife, do we come back? Visitations, what can we do? Just, you know, just to make things simple through the grieving process, raise your vibrations and your frequency. Life is all about vibration frequency, right? That's basic math. Nikola Tesla tried to teach us that, you know.
Absolutely.
It's something that I believe in wholeheartedly, and not enough people, I think, really get into that part of the research. But that is what it's all about. That life in general sums it right up right there. But it was a great conversation, and I'm glad you guys all came in and participated. It's always so much fun communicating with you all. And again, big, you know, huge condolences from us here at United Public Radio and the Outer Realm, of course, with Amelia and I. Big condolences to Elliot Van Dusen and his family. It's going to be a very difficult time. And our prayers and our thoughts and love and so on is with them all. So wanted to make mention of that. And I'm going to just put this up because, yes, people right here.
It's that time.
Why am I playing this? Because Amelia and I here at the Outer Realm are the big sponsors. We're big sponsors for the Halifax Paranormal Symposium. And that's going to be October 7th. And there's going to be fantastic guests there. And we're going to be interviewing most of them. So you can get an idea what they're all about. And maybe you might want to go see them in person. So we believe enough in them to completely sponsor them. And we are going to give them that shout out right now. So guys, again, here we are at the end of another fantastic segment. And we thank you all for tuning in. Everybody in chat, you guys always rock it. So thank you to Folgers for having faith in us and being with us all these years and forging into another year. Yes, I know. It's great, isn't it? We're really grateful. We're really grateful, and we love them a whole lot. So big thank you to Folgers. Big thank you to Justin Snicker, a.k.a. Dr. Snick, the Sonic Surgeon, for, again, the gift of his music and his voice for our intro and outro. Big thank you to Steve McGinnis for his artwork. So thank you, thank you. Guys, tomorrow night, we welcome the return of our dear friend, Reverend Bill Bean. I know we all love him. This guy is just, people love him he's awesome. Yeah,
he's so much fun.
And he's going to be discussing a few things, but we're going to be starting off with the Mandela effect. And there's a lot of them out there, guys. So go look some of that stuff up and join us in chat room tomorrow night, and we can just bounce them around and talk about them. But then we're going to kind of go with, where does it come from? Are we talking time slips? Are we just glitch in the matrix? Is it UFOs? Is it, what is it exactly? So it's going to be a lot of fun. So I hopefully you guys can all tune in with us tomorrow night. So in the meantime, I hope you guys have a terrific Thursday and keep smiling. Remember to smile for somebody else too. Anyway, good night, everyone. See you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.